Enjoy the summer weather at Asda this weekend with our top deals on beer. Like 3 for £20 on 12 packs of Foster's, Carlin and Budweiser. Asda, save money, live better. British summer sunshine subject to availability with risk of occasional showers or cloud cover. Max 6 per customer. Selected stores subject to availability. Individually £8. Ends 4th of July. Drink aware. Unavailable in Scotland.
Blog Talk Radio.
All right, fans, here we go. 4 2-minute rounds of boxing scheduled. Women's in the ring.
Greetings, Fight fans. Here we are once again, episode number 8 of the 2-Minute Round, your hooks and jabs look at the female fight world. My name is Felipe Leon, co-host of the show, but more importantly, with me is the legendary David Avila. How are you doing, David?
Very good, Felipe. Thank you. Hi.
And as well with us, former fighter and now wife and mother, Elena Baby Doll Reed, calling us joining us from Phoenix. How are you doing, Elena, today?
Great, thank you.
Well, folks, we have a jam-packed show today. We're going to have Luis Tapia, manager and trainer of one of the best pound-for-pound female fighters in the world, Layla MacArthur, who is going to talk to us about her next fight, which is an important one. And also, we're going to have Layla herself calling in onto the show in about 25 minutes, hopefully. We could get in contact with her so she could tell us all about it, who she's fighting next, and more importantly, the platform of where she's going to be fighting on. But if you want to give us a call and talk female boxing with us on this, a 2-minute round, your every other week female boxing show here on the Leave It in the Ring Network, you can do so by calling 347-215-7598. Again, it's 347-215-7598. And let's get started with a little bit of news and notes, fight results, and then at the end we'll give you the upcoming calendar. There wasn't a lot of boxing in the last couple of weeks, and we don't expect a lot of boxing in the next couple of weeks moving from today, but there have been some important fights that happened in the past and coming up. Going back to Saturday, June the 18th, in Tijuana, Mexico, at the Municipal Auditorium, we had long-reigning WBA strawweight champion, 105-pound Anabel La Avispa Ortiz, stop a very tough and a very game Jolene Blackshear in the 8th round of a Schedule 10. Ortiz was actually down in the 4th. Her glove, I believe it was her right glove, touched the canvas. A product of a stiff right hand from Jolene Blackshear, her signature punch. If anybody has seen Jolene Blackshear fight, they know that that right hand, especially the ones that have fought her, they know that the right hand is a very potent one, and she proved it, dropping Anabel Ortiz, or at least scoring a knockdown, not necessarily dropping her, in the 4th round. But Ortiz was too much at the end. Her pressure was too much on the 46-year-old Jolene Blackshear, who previous to this fight had announced her retirement after losing at junior flyweight to Yvette La Roca Zamora. But she couldn't stay away from the temptation of actually fighting for a world title in her natural weight class at strawweight. I have the privilege to know Jolene Blackshear, to have met her and to have spoken to her, to have worked with her somewhat in the past. And she mentioned to me that she had always wanted to challenge for a world title in her weight class. She had never had the chance. She always had to go up to 108, maybe even 112 pounds. And now she had the opportunity to fight at 105 pounds. And, you know, she did the best that she could with the opportunity. She only had about 2 weeks' notice. But I believe she's always in shape, and she gave a good showing. David, did you get a chance to see the fight?
No, I didn't get a chance, but I wasn't surprised that it was a good fight because, like you were mentioning, Jolene's just, she's always prepared. She knows the sport very well. She's one of those technical fighters, too, with a punch. And she's got a very dangerous right hand. And I was expecting a good fight. Would you call it one of the fight of the years? So
No, it was competitive for the first four or five rounds, but then once Anabel Ortiz began to kind of step on the gas a little bit and really pressure Jolene, you could see Jolene's, you know, just for the simple fact that maybe she didn't have enough time to prepare, even though she's always in shape. Obviously, you know, when you're training just for the sake of training, and Elena can help us with this, you know, you don't train as hard and as intense as if you're preparing for a fight. And usually, you know, fighters, whether they be male or female, they usually want 6 to 8 weeks, if not a little bit more, especially if it's a world title fight, to get ready. And I'm sure that even though she's always in the gym, you know, she wasn't, you know, training, you know, full bore for 6 weeks prior to this fight. I'm sure she took it, she went full bore as soon as she got the call, which was about 2 weeks prior to the fight. So I think that kind of showed in the second half of the fight when Avispa Ortiz began to kind of really step on the gas and really land her own right hand. And you could see Blackshear kind of tired out. And I personally, what I saw, I thought that Ortiz could have ended the fight a little bit sooner if she would have taken a little bit more of a risk. But I think she was wary of the right hand from Blackshear, who kept landing it, but maybe not with the same power that she did in the first four rounds. Elena, as far as the question of staying in the gym but then really training harder once you have the fight, give us your thoughts on that.
I agree. You know, it's not even comparable. Fight shape is like no other shape in the world. And any, like, athlete even crossing over to get into boxing, like, you know, when you're ready for a fight, it's like, you think of, like, pyramid training, right? You're exactly ready for that fight, and there's no other way that you would ever have that motivation to ever be in that great of shape. Like, you look at these boxers before those fights, like, it's the epitome of shape, and you can't be in that shape for that long. So you're absolutely right. Like, being in shape and being in fight shape, especially world title fight shape, totally different. And I think, you know, my hat's off to Blackshear for even to be able to take this fight. And she was supposed to be retired. I mean, that's just amazing that she even, you know, took it, number one. Like, what a heart, and that she was in the fight. So good for her. What happened?
Also,
did an opponent fall out at the end of that fight? Or?
No, I believe they're just looking for somebody. I've heard like little whisperings that Anabel Ortiz was going to return around this time. You know, they had mentioned that Antonio Margarito was going to fight, I think, in mid-July here in Tijuana against Canelo's brother Ramon Alvarez, and that she was going to be a part of that fight card. Then I was told that maybe she would fight at the end of this month in June. And then this fight, all, you know, Sanford has the ability and sometimes the notoriety to put on fights on 2 weeks, a week's notice. I mean, I've seen him put a fight card, you know, and by a week's notice, put it all together and have it. And it's very easy for them to do it here in Tijuana because this is where they're based out of. So
yeah.
I think that, you know, when they finally figured out what they needed to do as far as their TV date for June 18th. They had Anabel Ortiz and she was ready, and they went and sought the easiest and the first willing fighter to do so. And Jolene Blackshear was it, being that she's in San Diego. You know, she was right here. They didn't have to fly her in. No worries. She drove in and everything. So I believe that's why that fight was made. Also on the card, Sandra La Perla Negra Robles won a technical decision in the fifth round of a Schedule 8 at flyweight against Ana Victoria Polo. Robles was cut over the right eye from a clash of heads in the fifth, and it went to the scorecards at the end of the round, and Robles ended up winning a unanimous decision in the fifth round via technical decision. This is the two-minute round. Your hooks and jabs look at the female fight world. You want to give us a call, 347-215-7598. In a couple minutes, maybe 10, 15 minutes, we'll be having Luis Tapia call in, manager and trainer of one of Pound for Pound Best, Layla MacArthur. And Layla MacArthur should be calling in as well soon after Mr. Tapia. Continuing, the same night, June 18th, Saturday, but this time from Venezuela, a huge boxing show, and it seems to be historic since it might have been the first all-female fight card in Venezuela from the Polideportivo José María Vargas in La Guarida, Venezuela. Jessica Yolanda Bob, the Argentinian, got a unanimous decision over Nancy Franco of Mexico, defending her WBA junior flyweight title. This is the second fight since Bob's return from maternity, from having a baby. And scores were 190 and 98, 92, two times. Question, Elena, I know that you are a mother. You did not fight after you were already retired by the time you became a mother, right?
Correct, yes.
Now, how hard do you think it is to go back to boxing once you've been a mother? I mean, there's plenty of women that have done it. I mean, Avispa Ortiz is a mother, Sandra Robles is a mother, Jessica Yolanda Bop is a mother, Mariana Juarez. I mean, there's a ton of them. But how hard do you think it is to go back to boxing and get a boxing back to your boxing weight, boxing body? Jackie Nava's done it. It took her about 2 years after, or a year and a half after she had her first child, to go back to boxing. How tough do you think that is to go back to boxing once you've had a baby?
Well, every pregnancy is different, and as athletes, as female athletes, I only gained, I think, a healthy 15 pounds, and I lost it as soon as I had the baby. So physically, it's not something that you can't do as long as you're a healthy person. I mean, I worked up until I had my baby. My baby and pregnancy were very healthy. So physically, it's not really a question. It's just for me, in my mind, and this is just right for me, is I knew with babies, there's no way I'd have the time and dedication. You know, that time and dedication really went to my babies, but that was my plan. And so physically, I see no problem. Like, you know, that I always, you know, you look at males and females, and one thing that's amazing about females is that they can have babies, right? Our spines are moved around and all these things happen. But really, if you're a healthy person, your body goes back right to where it was before. And so not a question at all physically. I think just you know, time-wise, that becomes an issue.
Just,
good answer.
Go
ahead, David.
No, I thought that was pretty interesting. And Bob actually looked pretty good. She looked pretty fluid.
Yeah, Nancy Franco.
You from my own experience. Yeah, physically, I tell you from my own experience, like, I mean, your body goes right back as long as you're a healthy person. So that, I mean, not even a question to me.
And Nancy Franco, even though her record does not reflect it, she's not an easy fight. And especially at 108, even though she's a natural strawweight, she's not an easy fight. Her record doesn't reflect it. She has a lot of losses, but it's because she takes, you know, all comers. So, Jessica Bob, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, you know, we're going to talk to Layla McCarter today, and she really is, you know, one of the best pound for pound, and you look at her record, too, and I think, because I was looking at that fight, and I was like, oh, well, you know, that girl, she has 10 losses, but then you start looking at those 10 losses, and that's where you see, well, wow, she's, you know, taken fights last minute, she's fought everyone, so those 10 losses may not be what they sound like.
Exactly.
Exactly. Well, we'll see what happens with Jessica Bob. Hopefully, you know, the fruit, the cream of the crop at junior flyweight is in Mexico. You got Ives La Roca Zamora. You got other top-ranked fighters there. So let's see if Jessica Bop ends up staying and defending her WBA title, or if she ends up moving up to flyweight, where there is, you know, even more fighters of world-class level in Mexico, like Jessica Kika Chavez and Arely Muncino, and obviously Ava Knight, who's been fighting in Mexico. Melissa McMorrow, who in our last show mentioned that she would love to face Jessica Bob at one point. So let's see what Jessica Bob wants to do from here on out, because, you know, I think that bringing in the opponents into Argentina and fighting there obviously gives her an advantage, and nobody can blame her for it. But if she wants to be considered one of the best, I think she needs to get out of there and fight the best, and they might not be willing to go down there.
True. Very true.
Well,
also
see,
on that,
look at it. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was going to say from her point of view, the thing is that she's getting the money in Argentina, and the people in Argentina, they don't care. They do think she is the best, right? They're not looking at all the other people around the world, because she is their star. She is the best to them. So besides wanting to be a true, like, you know, world athlete, really for herself want to fight outside of it as an athlete, money-wise and career-wise, she's great where she's at and she doesn't have to go anywhere. So business-wise, there's no really reason for her to go anywhere else because she's getting the most notoriety and probably money where she's at, I would imagine. I don't know. But of course, as people who follow the sport and we know women around the world, it would be really nice to see her extend herself and fight around the world. But I don't know. We'll have to see how that all works out.
You have a point. I mean, obviously she's going to stay where the money's at, and for her in Argentina, the money's at. But then this is the type of opponent that she's going to be facing. I mean, in her last fight, she faced Vanessa Lorena Taborda, who we're going to talk about in a little bit. And also now she's facing Nancy Franco. And we've had some women go down there and fight her, but they have not been of, like, the world-class level. I mean, I'm talking about the elite of the division. And
yeah, absolutely.
For her to face those fighters, she needed to go out of Argentina, which she did when she faced Kika Chavez, and she ended up losing here in Mexico.
Yeah.
So that's the point. That was my point. I mean, if she wants to stay there, nobody can blame her. I mean, that's where she's going to make the money. But if she wants to fight the opponents that you don't necessarily need to go down there because of the money, because they have their own money in their own right, like Jessica Kika Chavez, who is very well supported by Televisa and by her promoter, Promociones del Pueblo, then she wants to prove that she's the best in the division, then she's going to have to get out of Argentina, because in Mexico, that's where the bigger fights are at. Or even go to Germany and face Susi Kentikian at flyweight if she wants to go up to 112.
Or even Japan.
Or Japan as well. Also on that card, Mayerlin Rivas got a split decision over Melania Soroche for the defending her WBA bantamweight title. Soroche was down in the ninth. Scores there were 97-92 and 96-93 for Rivas, while 95-94 were Soroche, which sounds like a very close fight. One of my favorite fighters, Ana Gabriel, got a TKO in the third against Katia Alvarino, defending her WBO and capturing the vacant WBA super welterweight title. So now she's a champion in two organizations, the WBO and WBA. So good for Ana Gabriel.
She's really improved.
Yeah, and she stopped her fighter in the third. And Linda Laura Lecha got a draw against Carolina Alvarez for the WBA, defending her WBA super flyweight title. Scores there were 98. Listen to these scores, because I want to see this fight. I'm going to try to find footage, and if I do, obviously I'm going to share it with you guys. 98-92 for Lecha, 190 for Alvarez, and then an even 95-95. So, those are some crazy scores. I mean, one completely liked Lecha, the other one liked Alvarez, and then the other one was indifferent to both of them with the 95-95. So that's some crazy scores. I really want to see that fight, so I'm going to try to see if I can find some footage of that. And then Ogledy Suarez got a KO in the third over Yarley Cuadrado for the vacant WBA Fed Latin super welterweight title. I believe Ogledy Suarez defeated Ana Gabriel, right, David, if I'm not mistaken?
No, it wasn't her. It was somebody else, I think. I could be wrong. I think it's somebody else.
Because that might be the fight that we might be looking for in the super welterweight division. Or, let me see, because she has one defeat, and it was to, oh no, it was Oxandia Castillo. You're right.
Right.
She's
Dominican.
Yeah. What's the name of that Swedish female fighter who poured that water a couple months ago on her opponent at the weigh-in? Do you remember that? Is she a super welterweight?
You mentioned it.
Yeah. I
think she's a
middleweight or super
lightweight?
She's heavier than that. No, she's heavier than that. She's like welterweight or middleweight. We're waiting for the calls from Mr. Luis Tapia and Layla MacArthur here on the 2-minute round. Your hooks and jabs look at the female fight world. If any of our listeners want to give us a call and talk female fighting, female boxing, you can do so, 347-215-7598. If you have a comment or a question for the great David Avila and female fighter Lena Baby Doll Reed, you can do so by calling in at 347-215-7598. 7598. And to finish off the story on the Venezuela fight card, there was two more bouts on that card. So there was a total of, 7 female fights in one card in Venezuela. So that was somewhat historic out there. On Friday, June 24th, from the Club Pro Educación Física Matienzo in Santa Fe, Argentina, Daniela Romina Bermudez scored a unanimous decision against Marisa Joana Portillo, defending her WBO Super Flyweight title. Scores there were 190 and 99-91 two times. While in China, Alicia Graf scored a unanimous decision over 10 rounds over Noemi Bosquez at bantamweight. Originally, it was announced that that was going to be for some type of regional WBA title. But on BoxRec, where we get most of our information, it's not documented that it was for a WBA regional title, even though they did fight 10 rounds. So Alicia Graf back. I think she had been on hiatus for a little bit, and now she's back with the unanimous decision over Noemi Bosquez. Saturday, June 25th, from the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, New York, on the Bella Entertainment, on that big card that had one of the best male fights of the year between Keith Thurman defending his WBA welterweight title against Sean Porter. On the undercard, we had the ultra-popular Heather Hardy score a unanimous decision in an 8-rounder against Christy Simmons at 123 pounds. Scores there were 79-73 and 78-74 two times. So now Heather Hardy inching ever so slightly, and with every fight, hopefully, to a world title fight.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I think she's ready. Right now, I think it's all about the money. She sells a lot of tickets. She was telling me that she sold more than $30,000 worth of tickets.
Wow.
And that's a lot of tickets.
Yeah.
I mean, she's ready.
Well,
she just has to get paid.
The one that's going to be paying is going to be DeBella, because, I mean, he's been putting on the cards. And obviously, if she fights for a world title, DeBella's going to want to be the promoter of record, because he's going to be able to control the situation. And the most obvious reason, the most obvious choice for me, for her to challenge for a world title would be against Alicia Ashley. Alicia Ashley, you know, 46 years old, great fighter, but I mean, again, 46 years old, and you know, she's right there in New York City. That's where she lives and trains, and probably is best known in the world. But are they trained by the same person? I don't think
so,
right?
Not by the same person, but in the same gym.
Yeah, no, I wonder, you know, somebody will have to talk to one of those girls, because they are all in the same gym.
Yeah.
It seems like, or at least even if they're not all training at the same time in the same gym, it seems like they're in the same kind of general area. And so I wonder how that does work, because they are a lot of the top fighter girls all in the same area, and they're around each other a lot. So I wonder if, like we talked before, business is business, and so they would probably fight, but how does that all work out, I wonder?
Yeah, I think what they're waiting for TV. They need they want to, if they're going to fight each other, they want it to be on TV, and they, you know, they want to get paid at least something more than what they're getting paid.
Because even Amanda Serrano, is she in that same gym too, or she's nearby to that gym?
Same gym.
And so there's the same weight, or they could fight, right? Go ahead.
We'll get back to the conversation regarding Alicia Ashley and Heather Hardy. But now we have, I believe, Mr. Luis Tapia on the line. Let me patch him in. Mr. Tapia, are you with us?
Hello.
Hello, is this Mr. Luis Tapia?
Yeah, this is Tapia. This is Luis Tapia. How are you?
Good. How you doing? You're calling into the 2-minute round. Your hooks and
jabs. I just called in, yes. I was waiting for to call at 7:30. But,
oh, no. My name is Felipe León. I'm a co-host here, and on the line with us is David Avila and Baby Doll Reed. Mr. Luis Tapia is the manager and trainer of one of the top pound-for-pound fighters in the world, female fighters, Layla MacArthur. David, why don't you take the reins and speak to Mr. Luis Tapia.
Hi, Luis. How's everything going?
Great. How are you, David?
Not bad. Is Layla still in Europe?
No, yeah, she's in Amsterdam, but she's flying right now to Germany because she got in, they're going there with her brother to meet some family there, and she couldn't. She tried to call early, but it was way too early, and right now she's on the way to Germany. She'll be there probably in about 30 minutes, and then she got to go to the airport and the customs, whatever, you know, and with all this problem, you know, it's going to take like about 45 minutes to an hour to get out of it, just to get out of the airport, you know.
Oh, okay. Well, that's too bad. But tell us about how Layla McCarter was chosen by Deontay Wilder to be on his fight card on the 16th. How did it come about?
Right. Well, we know Deontay Wilder for about 3 or 4 years. We've been talking to him back and forward about once a week, and Layla more often, you know. And so all suddenly, you know, Layla was supposed to fight in Florida, and the fight was postponed because Melissa Hernandez got injured during training, and so the fight was postponed to July 16th, actually the same date. And Deontay, we were playing poker around 5 p.m. and Deontay called Layla, and he said, "Layla McCarter, this is Deontay Wilder. I want you to be in my next show." So she said, "Great," you know. And they've been talking already about that, you know. So when Deontay called, say, "I want you to be in my show," and the reason that I want you to be in my show is because I think I've been watching all your videos on YouTube. I never see you fight live, but I've been watching all your tape, all your video, and I can see any other fighter that fight like you, you know. And I'm talking about male and female, you know. You're so technical. She saw the you saw the BKB fight at the Mandalay Bay, and that was outrageous. You know, it's so much skill in you. So I want you to fight for me. So I'm promoting this fight here. I'm fighting on Chris Arreola, and I'm promoting this fight in Alabama. So I want you to come and join me. And every time I fight, I want you to fight in my car. So, you know, it's like a dream come true for Layla, because we're talking about the heavyweight WBC champion of the world, undefeated, undisputed, and such a nice guy, you know. What a nice guy. I spoke to him a few times, and he's a very nice guy, and I hope he doesn't change like most of the fighters do. But he hasn't changed. And he told Layla that time that, you know, remember I promised you that I was going to call you, and I want you to know that I'm doing great right now, but I'm the same person that I used to be before I became a champion, you know. And that's great, because that's what we need in boxing, you know, and people like him to help other female fighters, or just to help fighters in general, you know, pay them good, treat them good, and keep them busy. So for Layla, it was really like a dream come true. And also for me, you know, because I haven't seen nobody like him for so many years, you know, and I'm very impressed with him, and we're very happy here, you know.
So how is she training? Who's training her in Europe?
Well, she's you know, we were training for the fight with Melissa Hernandez prior to this anyway. So she was training every day, you know, sparring between 8 and 12 rounds every day. For Layla, it's not such a thing like overtrained, you know. she can run every day. She can spar every day. She can do whatever every day. She will never get tired of it. And so I can say that, I can even tell, you know, Layla, you overtrain it, so make sure you don't overtrain, so be careful, because that's not her case, you know. And she trained, runs happy, she hit the back 5-6 rounds, she sparred 10 rounds the same day, and man, it's amazing. So she's very similar to Floyd Mayweather Jr., you know. When Floyd trained, he trained also the same way, you know. Come on, he trained 3 or 4 hours. And Layla is 37 years old, and as you get older, you got to train a little bit longer. to get to the same condition that you get for prior, you know, when before you got to 35. Because when you get to the 35-year-old, you know, you just take a little bit longer to get in the same shape. So, and instead of training 4 weeks, we train in 6 weeks. So anyway, so Layla was training for this fight that got canceled. So she already was in shape and everything. She was ready to fight. So now that she's in Amsterdam, now she's running every day, 5 miles every day. She's shadow boxing. She goes to a near boxing gym there and hit the bag. So she's good. As soon as she gets back here, which is going to be July 4th, right after the 4th and the 5th, we're going to start sparring all the way to the fight, and we'll be ready for it.
And what weight is the fight going to be at, Luis?
She's going to fight 143. She doesn't want to fight any lighter than 140. Actually, she wants to stay in the welterweight because we wanted to fight Cecilia Brackes. Lucia Reich is out of the picture for a long time ago. I don't know how she's still in my mind. But we wanted to fight on Cecilia Brackes, and hopefully the fight come true, you know. And it's all up to Cecilia. We're ready to fight him anywhere. I even told Lafleur that we will fight him anywhere. You know, we will fight him in Germany and whatever they promote the fight. I don't care. We fight him anywhere, and Layla will beat him anywhere we fight. And she knows that. That's what I think. She's staying away from Layla. She wants to stay undefeated.
Is there a magic number in terms of money that you guys are looking for?
Well, you know what? To be honest, at the beginning, we're asking for $250,000. You know, I just want to say the number. $250,000. So Tom Lafleur said, well, we can build it up, and so we can get a big TV, and we can make the money. She never say no. She never said yes.
Yeah.
Now, when she was supposed to fight in England in the undercard of Fury and Klitschko, we took the fight for less than that just to fight him anyway, but they didn't want to fight us. So Tom Lafleur said, well, not yet, maybe next time. So we're waiting, but we're not crazy about it. If she wants to fight, fine. If she doesn't, we just fight somebody else. But I was ready to fight him anywhere, anytime. She just got to say where, or Tom got to call me and say, come on, here's the fight. And let's do it. You know, and I think that would be great for women's boxing because that's what we need. And we need to put a fight like this in a big TV so people can see that women can really fight. You know,
yeah.
I've been with Layla, you know, for almost 20 years, and not because I train her or manager, but she's one of my best fighters. I manage about 50 fighters. She's the only female, and she's one of the best fighters I have. I mean, she trains so hard. I never have to tell her what to do. She just go and do it. She just get up and run. I don't have to watch her when she runs, nothing. A lot of fighters, hey, can you come with me? Can you see me run? Can you see me do this? A lot of, you know, fighters need attention, and you got to give them some attention. Some of the fighters need too much attention. In Layla's case, she minds her own business. She just do her things, you know. And she goes, sparks 12 rounds. She's hitting the back for 10. I said, oh, my God, Layla, you got 22 rounds in already. And then the way she said, I'm going to go and run a little bit. I said, oh, what? Yeah, I'm going to go and run a little bit. So, and that's her life. That's been her life in the last, I would say, in the last 10 years. That's where she's undefeated in the last 10 years. She hasn't lost to anyone, and she won't ever lose again. You know, and nobody will be Layla McGarry between in the 135 to one, even 154. We challenge anybody even to 160. You know, Layla, we went to South Africa for the WBA title, the 154 pounds. We undefeated girl, and we knocked him out in the A1. You know, so and she adjusts herself real good. Depending who she fight, the weight, you know, she adjusts herself real good. So she can fight anybody. So the other day she told me, you know what, maybe I move to the heavyweight. You know, I don't know how she's going to make weight on the heavyweight. Yeah, she's something now. You know, that's why I always call her amazing because she amazed me with everything she does. You know, she does so good and she's so intense. And then when the fight time comes, she's just ready to fight. She wants to get in the ring and do her thing. So, man, you know, I wish I got a couple guys like that. If Leila was the guy, I would have right now $1,500 million in the bank. That's for sure. But unfortunately, female, they still don't get paid what they deserve. You know, women in the United States, they still make it 75 cents to a dollar that the men make. So it's so unfair. And it's time. It has been time. A long time ago, actually, for a change. We got to change this. You know, I grew up in a house where my father used to make good money, but my mother used to make three times more money than my father made. So I come from a family where women are real strong and are very good. So I was raised like that. And I always respect females and anything they do because of that, because my mom. And that's what I help Leila so much, I guess, you know. And, the equality, you know, it should be the same, men and women, you know. And unfortunately, it's not, but I hope, like I say, it's time for a change now. We need to have those female fighters in the big network. They need to make, now, if they can just make 10% of what this guy made, just 10%. Right now, they don't even make 1%. You know, true. My dream is just for them to make 1%, 10%. You know, like Thurman make $1.5 million. Yeah, so let this female make $150,000. You know what I mean? 10%.
Yeah.
Which is fair. All these girls, they train so hard. You know, they run every day, they spar, they hit the back, just like the guy, and even better than the guy. You know, but they don't have the opportunity to be in those big TV, so people can appreciate that. So hopefully one day they change their mind. You know, HBO, Showtime will do it. I know that. I spoke to the people from Showtime, and they will do it. Fox TV, they do it. ESPN, they do it. But HBO doesn't want to do it. So
speaking of TV, will Leila's fight be televised?
Yeah, they told us. Okay, Deontay Wilder said that he's going to be our promoter now. Deontay Wilder, the WBC heavyweight champion of the world, and we're very glad with him. Because he also worked with Al Heyman, so we can extend a little bit, we'll fight for him, fight for Al Heyman, and then the money's great, and the street is good. You know, and there's so many good things that she's going to get. And They got a 12 round fight, Deontay Wilder and Areola. They got 2 10 round fights. Now we are supposed to be between those 10 rounds fights, and she'll be on TV. It's an 8 round fight, so she'll be on TV. I hope so, because they got 2 10, they got a 12. I know for sure that Deontay Wilder is not going to go 12 rounds.
Is she going to be fighting the 2 minute rounds, or will she be fighting 3 minute rounds?
Well, we wanted to fight Leila wanted to fight 3 minute rounds.
Yes.
So we fight Melissa Hernandez, and the reason that we fight Melissa Hernandez because, you know, she's the only one willing to fight.
Yeah.
And now we call so many, you know, Amanda Serrano here and there. All these undefeated fighters, they want to fight everyone. When I call them, they don't even answer the phone, or they don't want to fight. Same
what about
answer,
like Kaylee Rice? Like, if I'm sure, you know, maybe if you guys go, like you said, you go heavier. If you guys went the maybe like going up Kaylee Rice.
Yeah, we I spoke to her promoter.
Yeah.
CIS. I'm sorry. They call me for Leila to fight him. I say, yeah, we took the fight, and I say, send me the contract. And they never sent me the contract. They didn't want to fight him.
Yeah.
They didn't want to fight him. We fight him. Listen, we fight him at 180. I don't care. We fight him at 180. She said, well, I'll fight him 160. I don't care what way she fight. I fight him at any way she wants. Leila will fight him and beat him and get him and knock him out. Knock him out any way she wanted to. And I put my money. We're going to win and take him all. You know? And so she talked a lot of garbage on the radio, on the website and Facebook, Twitter, whatever. But when the time is coming to fight, they don't want to fight. You know, they don't want to fight. So I spoke to the matchmaker, and I called him and I texted him. She said, well, they don't want to fight. Boom. Down. Mm. So you know, we will fight anybody, you know. I mean, Leila will fight anybody, like I say, from 135 to 154, even 160. And so anybody up there that is ready to fight, willing to fight Leila, come on down. We're fighting. Now we're going to have a lot of fights. Now we're going to fight with Deontay Wilder. You know, money's going to be available there to pay the opponent good. And we're going to be big
stars. You're going to have a big line of people wanting to fight now.
Yeah. So, you know, the main thing, a lot of these fighters say, well, I'm not going to fight, and, I'm not going to fight for $2,000. Now it's going to be money. We'll pay as many as London more than that. So now we just waiting. You know, now let's talk about the two-minute rounds. And we wanted to fight three-minute rounds this fight, so we are talking about it, but the contract was issued for two-minute rounds. Now, Leila wanted to fight three-minute rounds, so we were trying to change it there in Alabama. We want to agree with Belize. One time you agree with the other fighters, and the commissioner say okay, and they allow, because the regulation has been changed. The ABC rule now, the ABC rule is up to the fighters. If the both fighters agree to fight three-minute round, and also the commissioner agree with it, no problem. So in Nevada, we can fight anytime we want a three-minute round. So we want to try to do that in Alabama, but Leila really want to fight 3 minute round. I mean, when you train, you're Baby Doll Reed, right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. When you train, do you train 2 minute round or do you train 3 minute round?
Generally, we would train 3 minute rounds, and once I got to the end, I got better. But we did actually go down to the 2 minute right before fights, just so we'd be used to it, because it's like a sprint, you know. It's not
right.
What you train for, so
Most of the female fighters, I would say 95% of the female fighters, they all, because they train with the same gym with males. They all the belts. The timer is 3 minute rounds, 1 minute break, or 30 second break, whatever. But they all train 3 minute break. I mean 3 minute round. So why fight 2 minute rounds? So a lot of the females say, well, we don't get paid enough, so 2 minute round is good. Now, like Leila said, if we wanted to get paid like the guys get paid, we gotta be able to do the same. We gotta be able to fight 3 minute round, and I agree with it. You know.
I think it's a different fight. It's it's amateur versus professional. So I think any female who's been in it long enough would feel more comfortable at the 3 minutes. I would imagine.
Right. We've done already in Nevada. You know, we've done a 12 3 minute round two times. We've done 4 or 5, 10 3 minute rounds, and Leila used to the 3 minute. You know, 2 minute rounds. Sometimes you're ready to knock your opponent out, and bam, the bell sounds. You don't have to. You run out of time. You don't have the time. So
let's get back to the subject of if it's going to be televised or not, Mr. Tapia. The fight, the contract. You said you already signed.
They told us that will be televised. Yeah.
But does it stipulate that it's the swing bout? It sounds to me like it's the swing bout. So in case one of the fights ends,
a swing bout in a way, like, you know. It's going to be a 10 round, right? Then it's going to be another 10 round. Now, if the second or the first 10 round, somebody get knocked out there before the fifth round, so we go right in. Now, if between the second and the main event fight, the main event, let's say Wilder, the second round, let's say the second fight go to the distance, the 10 rounds, and then somebody get knocked out in the heavyweight title fight, then Leila go right in. You know, so they don't know, actually. I don't know exactly how they're going to do it, but they're trying to get him on TV. That's as to Wilder. You know, he's doing all that stuff. You know, that guy is amazing. You know, he's trying to, it's the first time that I see a champion, a real champion, like Deontay Wilder, that's trying to help a female fighter. You know, and Floyd Mayweather is, you know, we know Floyd for a long time. He wanted to work with Leila once, but he wanted Leila to come to the gym and spot this girl, spot that girl. So, and when you go to spot there, you don't go to spot, you go to fight. Now, Leila told him, you know what, I don't have nothing to prove. I already proved everything, so I don't need to go to your gym and fight. But if you want me to fight somebody from your gym, I fight anyone, but I want to get paid for it. You know what I mean? So and Floyd said, no, it is. So, you know, Floyd was just, he always jokes so much. You know, you never know if he's saying the truth, he's lying, whatever. Or he's serious, or he's not, he's joking. You know, you never know. So fortunately, we find Deontay Wilder that is willing to help Layla. And for, you know, he told Layla, you know, you're going to fight my car every time I fight. I plan to fight maybe a couple more years, so you're going to be fighting every time I fight and every time I promote a show. So we got it. You know, what do we need anybody else? You know, he's paying Layla great. He's treating Layla like a champion.
As long as he keeps being the WBC World Heavyweight Champion, if he loses that title, that circumstance is going to change.
Okay, listen, it's going to be like this. Okay, first of all, with Chris Arreola, it's not going to get beat. No way. That's never going to happen. unless... Poveskin fight. Now, with the Poveskin fight, they are in a lawsuit right now. They're going to court because here and there, if Poveskin came out positive with the test, if he failed the drug test, whatever, you know, they're not going to fight him anyway. So I don't know what's going to happen with that. But if he fights Poveskin, they're not going to fight. They don't have to fight him there, actually. I hope that fight happens here in the United States. You know, and a lot of people think that Poverty going to beat him. I don't know. You know, I don't know. I got my fight for Poverty. We fought Poverty, and Poverty went about 7-8 years ago in Germany. My fight for the Friday the 13th at Hunania. We lost a close decision, and you know what? And was supposed to be a 10-round, and they cut it to 6-round. They pay us the same money, that's fine. But, you know, this is so stupid because that was 30 minutes before the fight. 30 minutes, your fight has been changed to 6. I said, what? So I didn't want to fight. But my fighter said, you know, Luis, I need the money. I need to get paid for it because we were making good money anyway. So I'm going to go through with the fight anyway. So I said, it's stupid because you're going to fight 6 rounds. This is going to go just like this, and they're going to give it to him as a decision. He said, well, whatever, so let's just do it. So exactly, 1 round, 2 round, 3, 4, 5, 6, time, bell, finish, unanimous decision, progressive. You know, that was totally outrageous. That was crazy thing that ever happened. And we lost the decision. He made the same money, but I saw progressive. This happened a long time ago, but I really doubt it. You know, I really doubt it. Poveskin be fighting a different kind of guy, you know. I really doubt that Poveskin can beat Wilder. So we see when that happens. So if that happens now, it's...
Any other questions there?
Excuse me?
Elena, sorry. Do we have any other questions for Mr. Tapia? Elena or David?
Go ahead, Elena.
I just wanted to say, you know, say thank you for all of your time, and you know, I've known you guys for a very long time, and so I'm really happy to see Layla get this break, and we're definitely rooting her on, and I'm sure it's just kind of a tough weight class. There's not as many girls up there, but hopefully with the money that you guys will be able to find more opponents for her.
Yeah, exactly. Because the main thing, if you have a great promoter that is willing to put up the money for you, then all this can be great. But most of these promoters, they don't even want to have female fighters in their car. And then if they do, they're paying what, $2,000, $3,000? They're paying nothing. You know,
yeah.
I couldn't even imagine making
$250,000 during my time. So I think it's great to hear.
That's stupid. We fought in Mexico in April, and we made more money than we – Layla made $12,500 in Mexico,
And
so they made more money than here, and the economy is much better here than there. So I can understand. So it's all up to this promoter. Like Bob Arum. Bob Arum said, no, I don't want to have female fighter in the car. I had Christy Martin. She broke her hand. She stopped crying in the ring. Then my wife was crying. My wife's crying all night, so I can't have more female fighters. Look at this stuff. go on. There's a few cohorts out there that they're helping the female fighters, and I hope, and Al Heyman can do something about that, because Al Heyman is great. He's doing a good job. He's paying the guy real good. So now Leila's going to be fighting one side of his car. So maybe we can have big fight with Al Heyman. So you never know. That would be great, because female fighter would get paid right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, hopefully we see that.
Thank you for calling.
So maybe, maybe then you make a comeback.
Yeah, I know.
But the money's there.
$250,000. Sure. Yeah.
If you're getting $100,000 to make a comeback, of course you fight. You come back and fight.
Yeah, I'll be calling you. I'll need a manager. So.
No problem.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Tapia, for calling the 2 minute round, and hopefully, we were hoping to speak to Leila MacArthur, but it sounds like she's in the air.
No,
so maybe
she will be here on the 4th. So between the 4th and the 15th, she'll be available every day. So if you need her to call, just let me know, and I haven't called her in after the 4th. Well, and
yeah,
we'll leave it at the 15th. Yeah.
We'll make contact her, and
thank you
for calling on the 2 minute round and giving us your time. Thank you very much.
Yeah, and thank you for having me. Thank you to everybody else. Thank you, David. Thank you, baby Dolby. I hope I see you soon,
guys. Thank you.
Bye bye.
And there you have it, folks. A little bit of a breaking story here on the 2 minute round. Leila MacArthur on the undercard facing Melissa Hernandez, which I believe is their fourth fight between them.
Exactly.
On the card of Deontay Wilder against Chris Arreola for the WBC heavyweight title fight. Leila MacArthur
was the last person to beat her.
Yeah, almost 10 years ago. The fight would be at 143 pounds in an 8-rounder, and I hate to say this to you guys, but I don't think it's going to be on TV, folks.
I hope so. I hope you're wrong.
Yes, I'll hope, though.
Yeah, I hope I'm wrong, but by the way that it sounded, it's going to be the swing bout, and, you know, I doubt that they would put the fight. The fight's going to be on Fox Sports, okay, the Deontay Wilder against Chris Arreola. And when he was talking,
it's going to be on Fox.
It's going to be on Fox.
Fox will show it. Yeah,
Fox.
I thought on Fox a couple times.
Well, that was 10 years ago. I mean, they're not having fights, that type of fights, you know.
Elena, you fought Leila.
I did.
Careers,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
What
my
was that
second
like?
Fight. In my first loss, she was bigger than me back then, too. I think we talked about it before, but it was my second fight. I really, my feet weren't even wet when I started boxing. So I worked hard, and that's what I had. And so I went against her. My face was black and blue for the first time ever in my life. I was really beat down. And it was really the one fight that made me feel like, you know what? This is what I want to do. I don't ever want to lose like this again. And I love this sport. And this defeat, it was the one thing. It made me want to be so much better. And it brought like that fierceness out in me. So I'll always be thankful to Leila MacArthur and that fight for really making me decide then and there that boxing is what I wanted to be good at.
Elena, you were a tough fighter.
That's
all
I
remember.
I got beat up for sure by Leila MacArthur. And that was a fight. It made me realize, you know what? I am tough because I took a lot of punches that fight, and I just kept going. And so, I really hope that Leila does get that money regardless of TV or not. And I think we should just put those positive vibes out there.
I'm being a realist. If it was on NBC, the fight would be on NBC, and then Deontay Wilder knocks out Chris Arreola, and then they switch to NBC Sports, which they've done in the past, and they would show the Leila MacArthur, Melissa Hernandez fight there, which they've done in the past. That's what the TBC has done, where they show a major, they show their semi-main event and their main event on, you know, NBC, and then they switch. They'll even say, switch now to NBC Sports, and you can watch the rest of the card. Then I would believe that it was going to be on TV. But since it's in Fox, and they don't have, do they have like a Fox Sports affiliate? I believe they do. At least they have like Fox Deportes.
Yeah.
Oh, so if they do that, if they're gonna do that and they're gonna switch, then I'm more inclined to say that it might be televised on Fox Sports 1 than on actual Fox as a swing bout. I hope I'm wrong, but the way that I know networks work and it wasn't. And Deontay Wilder is the one that's telling them it's going to be on TV, and that it doesn't actually state it on the contract, then I don't know. I mean, I know you're familiar with contracts, David, and you, Elena, as well. And most of the time when you're going to be on TV and you're in the swing bout or any other bout, it states it on the contract that you're going to be on TV.
True. Very true. But I've seen women come up before.
I hope you're wrong. And going back to Elena's toughness, that's why she is going to be inducted into, is it the Nevada Hall of Fame,
No. Yeah, Nevada actually has never recognized a female as a inductee. Layla McCarter, however, is Female Fighter of the Year through Nevada Boxing Hall of Fame. But no, mine is the Women's Boxing Hall of Fame. And it's women from around the world and also in the business.
When is that ceremony?
So I was inducted for this year, but what they're going to do is they're going to put the 2016-2017 inductees together. So we'll actually be celebrating in L.A., I believe, next year.
I'll be there.
So
I want
to
make
come.
The trek.
Yeah.
I want to make the trek to L.A. and honor our very own Elena Baby Doll Reed there. And going back to
2-day-long celebration.
Yes.
And going back to the conversation that we're having before our call with Mr. Luis Tapia, about Heather Hardy hopefully challenging Alicia Ashley for the WBC Super Bantamweight title soon. Heather Hardy is actually ranked number one as of April by the WBC in their rankings, and she's the international holder.
Yeah.
So, I mean, all the writing's there. They're waiting for TV. You know,
big
then
money.
They got to move to... One of them has to claim to be Mexican, and they have to move to Mexico and get on TV then, because if they're going to wait to get on TV in the United States to fight for the title, we're not going to see the fight.
Well, isn't there – what about that weight class? I mean, there's girls out there she can fight too. Am I correct at that? Or the...
But there wouldn't be – actually, I think I'm not sure. I would have to do a little bit of research. But who is the other super bantamweight title holders? But she's ranked number one in WBC, and she seems to be – loyal to the WBC, so I don't think that she I think she wants that WBC title, and you know, Alicia Ashley is the title holder. You know, DiBella, I mean, you know, with Heather Hardy selling in tickets and with what DiBella could put up, and hopefully they can make it happen. I'm sure that you know, Luigi, our friend Luigi, will be very susceptible to talking about that fight. Now, with that said, that brings us to the end of our fight results, and now we go to our female fight chatter. Unfortunately, it sounds like because of travel arrangements, we will not be speaking to Layla McCarter tonight, but hopefully we could get her on our next show. Our next show will be on July 13th, two nights before her actual fight with Melissa Hernandez. So I don't know if David and Elena... We want to see if we can try to get them on, both of them, like we did in April when we got most of the participants of the Golovkin card, the female fights that happened there. Try to see if we could try to get Layla and Melissa in two separate interviews two nights before. They're going to be in Atlanta by then, so maybe we can make it happen unless they go to sleep early for the weigh-in. But let's see if we can make that happen and talk to them before that fight on July 13th, which will be the next 2-minute round, episode number 9, will be on July 13th. Starting off our female fight chatter, something that was not in our script because it happened this morning, but it was announced that Cecilia Breakhouse, the recognized number one pound-for-pound fighter, female fighter in the world, undisputed welterweight champion. She holds all four of the major titles of WBA, the IBA, the IBF, the WBO, and the WBC, as well as the IBO, the only female fighter to ever do that, will be fighting in her home country of Norway on October 1st. The fight will be presented by her own promotional company, First Lady Promotions, which is in association with K2 Promotions, run by by Vladimir, well, actually run by Tom Loeffler, but K2 Klitschko brothers, the Vladimir and Vitaly Klitschko. So this will be the first fight card in Norway since December of 1980. The sport was banned on January 1st of 1981, the same year that Cecilia Breakhouse was born in Colombia. She was adopted by a Norwegian couple at 2 years old and since then has lived in Norway, but began her career in Germany. Actually, she began her career in Switzerland, but fighting out of Germany with Sauerland Promotions, and now she will be fighting in Norway in the first. The ban was lifted in 2014, but no promoter has attempted to go to Norway and put on a show there, even though Cecilia Breakhouse is one of the biggest sports figures in the country. And her fights are televised in Norway. You can watch boxing in Norway, at least if it's a Cecilia Breakhouse fight that is being televised in Norway. But when the ban was on, you could not practice it. You couldn't even train. And you were caught practicing the sport or training. You could go to jail for 3 years.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's crazy. So... that's big news right there. Let's see what happens. Obviously, no opponent yet. Could it be Layla MacArthur? It sounds like it. Would they pay her $250,000 like Luis Tapia mentioned that they asked for? Perhaps. Who knows? I mean, her fights are being televised. I mean, there's got to be a TV fee, a broadcasting fee. Wow, that sounds like a lot of money for a female fight. Not to, obviously not talk down or say that it's not worth it, but that's a big chunk of change right there. Who knows? I mean, Layla McCarthy is willing to do it, and Cecilia Breakhouse is willing to do it. It would be a huge fight for female boxing, especially in historic that it would be the first one in Norway in over 35 years.
Yeah, David, correct me, and maybe you know or maybe you don't know, but I'm pretty sure that in Germany, the top girls, they are making like at least $1 million to fight.
Regina made it several times.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. So even though $250,000, that is a lot of money. It sounds like a lot of
Mexico,
money, but it's been done.
In Mexico, they're not making, I never saw the contract, but I was told that when, possibly the two biggest fights in Mexican female boxing history has been the two fights between Jackie Nava and Ana Maria Torres, and I think when the fight was on Televisa, which was the network that Ana Maria Torres was on, she made $100,000, and Jackie made $75,000 around the. And then when the rematch was done on Sanfer, on Azteca, then Jackie made $100,000, and Ana Maria made a little bit less. But I don't think they're even getting. I mean, they might be. I mean, maybe Mariana Juarez is making over $100,000 at this point, but I don't think they're getting anywhere close to $200,000, let alone $250,000.
Yeah,
man, just saying $100,000, that's so great. I mean, these are all, females. I think it's a start. Hopefully they do make more money. And I wonder how much Leila Ali was making when she was fighting, because I'm sure she wasn't fighting for, pennies. I'm sure she asked for some money.
She never made anything like the girls in Germany, but more more like $150,000, I think it was the highest.
Yeah. And it's not like she was even, she wasn't, a world, well-known champion. She wasn't, unbeatable or anything like that. They really built her up. She was a great fighter, but she just didn't do it for that long, per se. And so she was able to make that money, and that was her name. So I just think, hearing these amounts of money, it makes me really happy that it's out there and it's happening and it's a start. So it does mean maybe that they could make more money. And someone like Heather Hardy, who is selling that many tickets, and if she does get on TV, she has every right to be making more money than I'm sure she is making.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think it's going to happen. I think they're just waiting for TV. They need that TV money or some huge sponsor to pay for it. Because the promoters aren't going to take it out of their own pockets. They're not going to do that.
Anybody want to call in the two-minute round, your hooks and jabs look at the female fight world, you can do so by dialing 347-215-7598. If you have a question or comment for David Avila, Elena Baby Doll Reader, myself, Felipe Leon, the number here is 347-215-7598. Earlier this month, WBC President Mauricio Suleiman presented his plan for a female flyweight tournament. The idea was first spoken about at the second annual female convention in Tijuana. The idea is to get women on TV, especially in the U.S. Suleiman at the convention mentioned to having guaranteed purses for the preliminary fights, the semifinals, and the finals. Potential participants in the tournament could be Jessica Kika Chavez, the current WBC flyweight champion, Ava Knight, former world champion, Isabella Roca Zamora, who is the current WBC junior flyweight champion, Melissa McMorrow, two-time flyweight champion, Susie Kentikian, and a number of many more. Marisa Suleiman mentioned that the tournament was open to any willing top-ranked fighter between junior flyweight and super flyweight.
Who would sponsor the money? Or who would put up the money, I should say?
Well, that's the thing that Mauricio Suleiman has to put together. And, I mean, I'm sure that he's been working on it since January or maybe even before when the convention was held. But he did not specify or announce any of that. The only thing that he did announce is that the WBC has tried to contact the potential participants and engage their interest in it, which many of them mentioned that they were interested, the ones that were present at the convention. And so it's just a matter of see if he could put it together. But now let's see who's going to pay for it, especially if they're going to have guaranteed purses. Could it be the reason that Keisha McLeod Wells did not face former champ Melissa McMorrow last June 8th as announced because she had another offer on the table? It looks that way, since it was announced that the New York fighter will be challenging current WBC light flyweight champion Isabella Roca Zamora on July 16th in Metepec, Mexico. The fight would mark the seventh defense for Zamora of her title, and the fight will be broadcast live in Mexico on Televisa.
So, oh, that was a shock.
Yeah, by the looks of it, it looks like maybe, I mean, as we were told by Melissa McMorrow, Keisha McLeod Wells contacted the promotion of the June 8th card where Melissa McMorrow was going to fight in Oakland against Keisha McLeod Wells, that she would not be able to participate in the fight due to a shoulder injury. But now it looks like she's going to be facing La Roca Zamora in a couple weeks. I mean, I don't know how serious, we want to give her the benefit of the doubt, but we don't know how serious that shoulder injury was. But I'm sure she has to be training for this Zamora fight since it's a world title. And I'm sure that she has been training for this Zamora fight for the last couple of weeks, I hope, if she wants to put on a good performance. So that would have been right around the time that she was scheduled to fight McMorrow on June 8th.
You know, all speculation and social media is so funny, but she is my friend on Facebook, and there definitely wasn't anything talking about any injuries, because, of course, after hearing the fight was canceled, of course, you know, we all kind of look up and see what's going on, and there was definitely nothing on the social media as far as, like, Facebook and things that I saw that would have shown her having a shoulder injury. So who knows, but, you know, hopefully it all works out for her.
Good investigative journalism there, Elena. You went straight to see if there was anything going on, and you did not find it. So that's a cue on the two-minute round to do some investigative journalism when we hear of rumors or anything else.
So tonight, Jennifer Salinas fights.
Yes, we do have that in the upcoming calendar. Set for continuing with the female fight chatter, set for July 23rd in Cancun, Mexico, Jessica La Kika Chavez will be defending her WBC flyweight title against former champ Esmeralda La Joya Moreno. The fight will be broadcast in Mexico as the main event by Televisa. And supposedly, here we go, David and Elena, supposedly what I read in their press release, the fight would also be broadcast by in the United States by the CBS Sports Network. So,
oh, great.
So if Layla MacArthur does not get on TV on July 16th, we might be seeing Jessica Kika Chavez against Esmeralda Joya Moreno on the CBS Sports Network on July 23rd. But if both fights get on TV, that's great for boxing because not only do we have a very good fight between Sinesa Estrada and Mandy, what was her last name, Suarez?
Cristina Fuentes.
Cristina Mandy Fuentes a couple of weeks ago. But now we have a potential great fight on paper, their fourth in their history, and the last woman to beat her, Melissa Hernandez against Layla MacArthur, which on paper, that could be a great fight, and if it gets televised. And now this fight between Kika Chavez and Esmeralda Moreno is a great fight on paper as well. So if those three fights get televised and they turn out to be as good or if not better as Sinesa Estrada against Cristina Fuentes, it's going to prove that female fights can be very, very entertaining, and hopefully fans get into it, you know, the casual fan or the fight or the fan that is not that familiar with female boxing can say, hey, these girls can really fight and they put on a show.
But you said it. It's not going to just be good for female boxing. It's going to be good for boxing. It's going to take boxing out of the Stone Ages. You know, you watch all these other sports in UFC and they have all these females and everybody knows them. People that are giving up on boxing, it could really breathe new life into the sport of boxing. You know, great fights last weekend that everyone can talk about. So it's really like it could really build on top of that. And like people want to see good fights. They want to see good decisions. They want to see females. And so, you know, I want to see boxing live and do well. And I really think females are going to be a part of that.
It looks like we have a
call.
Go ahead, David.
Today I was watching the they had the Golden Boy press conference because they're going to have a battle of the badges between NYPD and LAPD.
LA,
And then also they're having some cool fights. But among the LAPD, NYPD matches, there was one female bout. And as soon as they announced the two girls, all of a sudden everybody started cheering. Until that moment, nobody was saying anything. Then as soon as they announced the women, they all started cheering. And I'm looking at Oscar and thinking, what if Oscar De La Hoya realizes, you know, how much attention the women get?
Like, what's happening? You know, people want to cheer on females, and they see, like, how great that they fight against each other. And so the people have talked, you know, the people have shown, like, they want to see females fight. And they want to see males fight, too, but, you know, boxing needs to get out of the Stone Ages. Boxing does need some new life breathed into it. I think anyone in boxing can agree to that.
Exactly.
You know, you talk to everyone, and I talk to even my family, and they all know I love boxing. And, you know, people will be like, you know, I'm done with boxing. And they need something new, and I think, like I keep saying, I think women is that new thing. Like, I think women really could help the sport evolve.
Hold on, David.
It looks like we have a call. Let's see if they're actually just listening in or if they have a question or comment. Area code 503, you're on the air.
Hey, yo, what up? Hey, this is Felipe, right?
Yeah, this is Felipe Leon with David Avila and Elena Baby Doll Reed. Do you have a question, comment?
Yeah, I got a few questions. Real quick, one fun question I had. Why is it that the WBC belt for the women's women's division? Why is it shape of a sunflower seed or like a sunflower? Why is that?
I think the WBC, that's something that they kind of want to differentiate between their regular title and their female title. I think it's kind of cool. I mean, the other organizations don't have it. The WBO, actually, their female title is pink. It's leather, just like the man's. It's very heavy. But it's pink instead of black. So that's what the WBC does a little bit different to show that it's a female title.
Oh, okay. Well, to be honest with you, like I think it should be the same shape as the men's titles. Like it just should be the same thing. To be honest with you, it kind of looks like a WWE Divas belt. Like to me, to be honest with you, like I don't know. That's the way I see it. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. For female fighters, do they have a problem with it of the, you know, the shape of it, or do they not care?
I think
I agree. agree with you. I think the belts should look the same because we're all world champions, male or female. So I don't think you have to distinguish by making it look different. But I am going to tell you, as a female who started out not being able to fight for these major belts, I think we're just happy that we can get them. So, so we're not complaining, but I agree with you. I'd like to see everything across the board. I'd like it to look the same because, you know, it's why change it?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it should go the same way as for men's, all the belts, you know, just to show the same respect as they have for the male talent as for the female talent. So I that's my opinion. I always wondered about that because I think the last female fight that I've seen was on to be honest with you, I don't really know anybody in the females division, but the last one, it was like a heavyweight fight, between two girls in Mexico. Like, it was like a Golden Boy promotion fight. And that's the last time I really watched the fight.
Besides Matisse's sister, when she fought, like, in Argentina, like, she fought some, I want to say American, but I'm not sure. She was, like, a blonde girl. But she fought her in Argentina. And that was a good fight. Mm-hmm. And I got to see that one. But those fights are kind of hard to watch, man, because, like, not as far as, like, you know, trying to look for them, because, like, they'll be, like, in weird, like, Spanish channels. Like, they'll be not regularly on right? They'll be, like, in the Argentinian, you know, broadcast channels and in the Spanish networks and stuff. Or they'll be in some other Spanish network that's not popular. Like, I think that might some be on, like, Unimas, but I'm not. But I mean, I'll try to watch it. I'll try to watch as many as I can. But, And also, I had another question about, you know, female fighters too, like, and for boxing. And do these female boxers, like, do they ever get advice to go into MMA now that the sport and MMA has gotten a lot more popular, and so they could get, like, bigger checks and, you know, bigger fame?
I went into MMA in my career. I was actually living in Vegas, and Randy Couture and his Extreme Couture managed me, and so I was absolutely advised to go into MMA for a long time before I did. And it's not that there's that much more money, because the thing is, there's not money for females anywhere. Except, you know, they're in the UFC now, and they're still not really making that much money. It's just the name. But there's a lot more fights. It was easier for me to get fights in the MMA than it was in boxing at the end of my career.
Yeah.
And I felt boxing is my love, my passion, always and forever. But in MMA, like, you had that instant respect, where boxing, it took a really long time for me, you know, to get my name out there as an athlete. Where in MMA, like, because I had boxing skills, I was a lot more respected. So, yeah, absolutely. You know, females who are looking to stay busier, or, you know, just business-wise, yeah, a lot of them are advised to go into MMA. And just to point out another thing you were saying, like, you don't know that many female boxers. I'm a female boxer, and it's tough for me to know all the female boxers out there, because they're not on TV. They're not, you know, people, the media, who is a huge thing for the things that we know, right? The media doesn't always talk about them. That's why we're thankful for this show and for Felipe and for David, is that they do write about females. But it's not, I would never look down upon someone. It's so hard to know female boxers out there, because no one talks about them. They're not on TV. And so that's what we're trying to do here with this show, is, you know, promote females and just hopefully in some small way, you know, get their names out there more.
And well, like we were mentioning, you know, Australia TV a couple weeks ago had a female fight with Inés Estrada and Cristina Fuentes. And then it looks like on July 16th on the Deontay Wilder against Chris Arreola fight, there might be a female fight on the card televised. Mm-hmm. And then on July 23rd, looks like CBS Sports Network, as part of their PBC show, is going to show a female fight as well. So they're starting to creep up on easier networks to find. CBS Sports has at one time televised female fights, and also Azteca America back a couple years ago was televising them as well. So they're starting to creep up a little bit more in the United States. So hopefully you get to catch some of those fights if they end up being on TV.
Yeah, man. I was going to say, they should be, like, to be honest with you, they should probably be on, like, on the undercards of, like, Canelo
or any big major fights, like let's just put it in there, you know, like maybe like for as an opener, you know, I don't know, because like just kind of ease the public into ease them into like women's fighting. So I don't know, that's just my opinion. Like I do believe they should get more promotion like yeah. out here in the States, and but it's hard, you know, and but it is what it is, and you know, I hope to see it more.
Yeah, next time you run into Oscar De La Hoya, tell him that, and maybe he will put him on the Canelo.
Well, yeah, I mean, if he ever comes to, you know, if he ever comes to Oregon, I'll be more than happy to ask him. But I've been I've been tweeting him just to bring like any fight here in Portland. Like we don't get any boxing here in Portland. Like we get more MMA stuff, and so I've been like I tweet him and just like let him know, like, hey, please bring boxing to Portland, any card, man, I don't care, any of those prospects, you know, I wouldn't mind any prospect coming over here just to let us, you know, just kind of show some love to Portland, because we don't get nothing besides MMA over here. But yeah, man, and that's pretty much all I have, and I just wanted to have one little quick question. What's been going on with the Wednesday shows? Like, why hasn't there been a show for like 3 weeks now?
Didn't have a show last night?
No, nothing. They haven't had a show for like 3 weeks, dude. And I've been tweeting at I think David Duenas. Like I've been like tweeting, I'm like, yo, what's going on, man? And like I get no response back though. But yeah, man, if we could get a show next week, man, because I've been missing the show.
I know that David, they didn't have one. I thought they were gonna have one yesterday, but I don't go on the one that's prior to this show, because, you know, this one's every other week, so I don't go on. But he asked me yesterday if I was going to go on. I told him no, because I was going to be on this show. But then the Wednesday a week ago, they weren't going to have one. David couldn't do it. So I was going to be on that one, and he told me, oh, we're not going to have it. I thought they were going to have one last night, but I'll make sure I'll speak to David, and hopefully they'll have one next Wednesday, which I will be on if we do end up having it. I'll push him to have it.
All right, cool, man. I'm hoping you guys got your show. Thanks for calling in. I'm hoping. All right, thanks. All right.
And there you have it, folks. I think he was our first official caller on the 2 minute round. Missing more the Leave It in the Ring show than actually calling the 2 minute hey, but that's how we're gonna get followers for female boxing, and that's why we're doing this show. I mean, hopefully the hardcore female boxing fans listen to the 2 minute round, but what we want to do a little bit more than that is to gain new followers to female boxing, so that way, you know, they start talking about female boxing, and hopefully we could push for female boxing to get on bigger platforms like CBS Sports Network, which hopefully it happens on July 23rd, or on Fox Sports on July 16th with Layla McCarthy and Melissa Hernandez. And obviously we saw it a couple of weeks ago, thanks to Golden Boy Promotions on Estrella TV. Going back to the story between Kika Chavez and Esmeralda Joya Moreno, the first fought back in February of 2011 with La Joya Moreno winning the WBC Junior Flyweight title by unanimous decision. This marks the third defense for Chavez of the 112-pound title after she captured it with the win over Arely Monsignor. Her defenses have been against Italian Simona Galassi and Argentinian Vanessa Lorena Taborda. So just in these next couple of weeks, we have two of the potential participants of that female potential female flyweight tournament in Kika Chavez. And actually, I would say four, because Keisha McLeod could be in the tournament as well. Esmeralda Joya Moreno could be in the tournament. Kika Chavez could be in the tournament. And well, obviously, Kika Chavez would have to be in the tournament, since she's the current world champion. And La Roca Zamora, who at the convention in Tijuana actually asked Mauricio Suleiman for an opportunity, a direct opportunity against Kika Chavez for the flyweight title. Whereas Mauricio Suleiman, that's when he actually revealed his plan of holding this flyweight tournament. So Roca Zamora wasn't too happy of the idea of a tournament when she, as a current champion in the 108 division, would want and think she deserves a direct challenge of the flyweight title of Kika Chavez.
Yeah, I get. Well, I think a tournament's a good thing.
Yeah, because it brings attention to the to the division, and it's more exciting, and that's what people want to see, like what we saw with the Super Six some years ago on Showtime, and then we saw it in the bantamweight division as well.
Yeah, and then it also just brings more respect to that belt. You know, it really does show. And there's numerous amounts. There's Nick Morrow, there's Ava Knight. There's, you know, there's a lot of girls that could go in that are really exciting to watch. So as much as, you know, it's nice for things to be simple, sometimes I think, you know, if you believe in yourself and you have that belt and you want to keep it, like, you know, this will give you that much more respect to keep that belt.
Sanford Promotions announced they signed Mexican amateur standout Zulem Urbina to an exclusive promotional contract. Urbina has survived tragedy after her brother, also an amateur fighter, was killed during a home invasion a couple years ago. Urbina has seen somewhat of international action, a lot of international action, in hopes of going for the Olympics. She had a little bit of an issue with the Mexican Olympic Federation. She's been representing the state of Sonora in the Mexican team, but it looks like she has some kind of problem with the Olympic Federation of Mexico, and now she will not be going to the Olympics. She was actually eliminated, but she had one more opportunity to be in a tournament and try to get a ticket towards the Olympics, but she decided not to take that chance because of some issues she had with the committee, and now she has opted to go pro. Her dream for a medal ended this year, and now will go pro, like I just mentioned. Looks like her debut will be July 30th in Rosarito, here nearby in Tijuana. That's what Sanford announced. And on August 27th, the newly crowned WBC bantamweight champion Catherine Fitty will make her first defense against South African Jibisela Tsavalala in Lusaka, Zambia. I did not do some research, but I could almost guess and guarantee that this is the first female world title fight ever held in Zambia.
Do
you know about this fight, David?
No, I did it. I didn't know anything about it.
Yeah, and I believe I was wondering too who was going to be the first her first defense. I think she got named the. She got named like a UNICEF ambassador or something like that, Catherine Fitty. So she is getting some fame out there as being the first. Is she the first world champion from Zambia, male or female? I believe she is, right?
She might be. She just might be.
All right. So we're getting close to wrapping it up here on the 2-minute round. Your Hooks and Jabs look at the female fight world. We've been in it for about an hour and a half. So let's wrap it up really quickly with the upcoming calendar, which is not too long. Starting tonight, Thursday, June 30th, from the Foxwoods Resort in Mashantucket, Connecticut, DeBella Entertainment presents former champion Jennifer Salinas versus Gina Chami in an 8-rounder at featherweight. This is a fight you mentioned a little bit ago, David, that will be going down. DeBella, he has presented he has a thing for female fights. I mean, he doesn't put them on TV, but he puts them on his cards. He put on Heather Hardy as obviously on this just that pass at Barclays Center. I mean, Heather Hardy is tied in with Al Haymon. He also puts on the fight with Alicia Napoleon out there in New York, a big ticket seller, and now Jennifer Salinas as well in Connecticut. So he is supporting somewhat female boxing. Lou DeBella with his promotional company, DeBella Entertainment. Tomorrow night, Friday, July 1st, at the Grand Hotel in Tijuana, Mexico, Bobby D presents and Mayhem Promotions presents former world champion Kenny Enriquez facing Brenda Ramos in an 8-rounder at a catch weight of 110 pounds, while Brenda Flores returns after having a baby versus Luis Rodriguez in a 6-rounder at flyweight. On Saturday, July 2nd, from the Gimnasio Municipal in Ciudad Juarez, Mexico, De Leon Promotions, and featured on Azteca as the main event, WBC Super Flyweight Champion Zulina La Loba Muñoz will defend her title against Vanessa Lorena Taborda of Argentina. This Taborda gave Mariana Juarez a great fight, so great. I think it was a draw, and then they ordered the immediate rematch, and then Mariana Juarez ended up winning that rematch. She also has fought Kika Chavez here in Mexico. She fought Jessica Tutti Bop in her last fight in Argentina in April, and now, despite coming off a loss, She is facing Zulina Munoz for the WBC Super Flyweight title. She's fought anywhere, I think she's fought anywhere from 112 to 115 pounds. So she gives a good fight. Let's see how she does against Zulina Munoz. Quite possibly besides, I think she might be the longest reigning female champion at the present moment, right? Unless Cecilia Brickhouse has that honor.
No, actually, Cecilia, I think, started in 2008, and I think Zulina lost in 2007. Well, I don't know if she had the title then.
No, but I'm just saying, yeah. who's held the title the longest?
Oh, yeah, well, it's probably a close tie then. Very close.
Cecilia Brickhouse won her first title back in the she won it back in 2009. Yeah, I think it might be Cecilia. And Zulina won it back in, because Zulina has a ton of defenses of that title. WBC 2013 silver female bantamweight. She was fighting at vacant. No, but she hasn't. She's held this title since Super Flyweight. She's held this since 2012. So, yeah, that honor might go to Cecilia Brickhouse for the longest reigning female world champion. And finally, on Saturday, July 9th, from the Sichuan Gymnasium in China, Melissa St. Ville is scheduled to face Katie Wilson Castillo in a 10-rounder at 130 pounds, not announced for a world title, even though it is a 10-rounder, which is the top limit in rounds for female boxing. Usually, female boxing championships are 10 rounds, but this one was not announced as a champion. And I believe this is the fight that I think Brian Cohen is his name, the manager of Melissa St. Ville, mentioned to us that they were working on. So it is being announced for Saturday, July 9th. So let's see how that goes. Let's see if we get some footage of that. Of that fight. And that, my friends, brings us to the end of another episode, number 8 of the 2-Minute Round here on the Leave It in the Ring Network. I would like to thank you on behalf of my co-host, David Avila, and of course, former female boxer and MMA specialist, Elena Baby Doll Reed, soon to be inducted into the Women's Boxing Hall of Fame. A great honor for all of us here at the 2-Minute Round on Leave It in the Ring Network, that Elena is part of our show with such a great boxing career and being honored as a Hall of Famer. Thank you, Elena. If we have not told you before, we thank you for being on the show.
My pleasure.
For taking the time and being on the show with us. And with that said, we bid you farewell, and we'll see you next time, 7 p.m. Pacific time on July 13th, where we'll talk about all the fights that we just announced on the upcoming calendar, any new female fight chatter, and anything that's coming up. And hopefully we could grab Layla MacArthur before her weigh-in for her fight against Melissa Huracan Hernandez. And hopefully maybe we could also speak to Melissa. Thank you, and we'll see you next time.
Take care.
To celebrate summer, we're offering a free pair of flip-flops when you spend £35 on clothing, shoes, accessories or beauty at M&S. Free those toes and strut into the sunshine. But hurry, this offer ends 4th of July. Only M&S. Terms, conditions and exclusions apply, subject to availability. See selected stores and online for details.